Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Tyler Cupp, broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road with Straight Talk.
Selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And good afternoon for another edition of our Straight Talk program. I am Tyler Cupp, filling in for Manning Kimmel, where we're broadcasting live from Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop, brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Also with us today is Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. With us today is Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road and Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, and by Piedmont Medical Network, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalNetwork.com. Well, we are here with our friends from the Bethel Shelters. Always a great time talking with our good friend Richard Murr, but he's not on the microphone today. It is two lovely young ladies, the executive director of the Bethel Shelters, Alicia Cohen, and the program director of the Bethel Shelters, Brooke Leverett. Ladies, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
All right, we're going to start the program as we always do and getting reacquainted with our folks that share the microphone. So, Brooke, I will start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes. Hi, everyone. I'm Brooke Leverett. I'm the program director at Bethel Shelters. I started back with Bethel Shelters in May of 2021 after a board member shared with me about Bethel Shelters and what they do in the community. I was interested, so I applied to be an intake specialist where I was checking guests in and out of the shelter, and I was lucky enough to get hired as a workforce development case manager a year later, and now I'm the program director today.
Very good. Yeah. Alicia Cohen, that's a year and a couple of months on the job now, right, as executive director?
Yes, it has been a year and 3 months.
Yes. Well, congratulations. A little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I've been with Bethel Shelters for 6 years, actually. I started as an intern when I was going to Winthrop University, and, COVID came, so I saw the shelter pivot during that time, and they needed a case manager, and so that's when I applied for that position, was hired on. I've been here to see the shelter grow from 2 part-time staff to now 8 full-time staff and 11 part-time staff.
And that's over the course of 6 years?
Yes.
Wow, very good. Okay, so let's talk about the Bethel Shelters before we get into why we're here today. You've got a virtual fundraiser that we're on day 5 of, but let's get people up to speed about the Bethel Shelters and the work that you guys do. Alicia, I'll start with you.
Okay. So Bethel Shelter is still the only low-barrier year-round shelter in York, Chester, and Lancaster County. We have 2 shelters. We have one, the day shelter at Pathways Community Center, where we serve both men and women experiencing homelessness. They can come to receive respite, get laundry taken care of. They can take a shower and get all cleaned up at that location. And then we have our Bethel Men's Night Shelter Program on the campus of Bethel United Methodist Church. There they can check in before 7:30, receive a meal, some case management and guidance, and then they can also receive a safe place to sleep. And there we have 68 beds year-round, and during the coldest months of the year, we partner with local churches so we don't turn no man away.
Okay, and for you, Brooke, what is your kind of role as program director as it pertains to Bethel Shelters?
So I case manage the men at our night shelter location. Mm-hmm. That's helping folks reach long-term and short-term goals. That could be applying for disability, applying for SNAP benefits, looking for housing, things like that. And then I oversee our programs. We have a rapid rehousing program where we rapidly rehouse folks experiencing homelessness in partnership with Catawba Area Coalition for the Homeless and in partnership with the Housing Development Corporation. And then I also oversee our workforce development program where we help folks re-enter the workforce.
So I want to touch on that very briefly, and I know you got some numbers there that I want you to share here in just a moment, but you mentioned a couple of organizations, the Catawba Area Coalition for the Homeless, we've got Pathways, we've got The Haven, we've got all these wonderful organizations that are trying to find resolutions, but at the end of the day, try to help these people. You know, try to help these people that are experiencing homelessness. And everybody has a different story, right? And maybe you guys can speak to, from the Bethel Shelter's perspective, how you guys work with these other organizations to help these people. You guys are all trying to, you guys are all part of the same mission, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Right. So, yeah, we can't do it alone. We have to partner with all of the other agencies. We offer the case management piece when it comes to the Rapid Rehousing Program, while when we partner with CASH, they are overseeing more so the financial piece. We partner with Austin Wilkes Society. We go to the DMV once a month. We offer the transportation. They provide the funds to cover the IDs. So our partnership is always like a one and on one, like it's either we offer one thing and they offer another, so we work collaboratively together to get that impact.
Oh, okay. Now, you had some numbers there I wanted you to give, some very interesting numbers of what you guys have served over the years.
Yeah, so our numbers, so this is basically our 2025 numbers. So at our day shelter, we saw 803 different individuals come through our doors. That's both men and women. And at our night shelter, we served 455 different men.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. And you've been with Bethel Shelter 6 years, Alicia, so I'm curious, what are the reasons that you're seeing? I don't know how often, I mean, obviously your job, Brooke, you get into that being a case manager and whatnot, but are you seeing an uptick from 2024 to 25 and even now? What are some of those reasons that people are experiencing homelessness? What are you able to speak to any of that?
Sure. So there are various reasons. Of course, affordable housing, inflation with the cost. We have a lot of seniors now at the shelter. So they have that fixed income, so they need to budget their funds. Sometimes they can't afford when that new lease agreement comes, so they have to be evicted from their place. Others are the younger generation, where they just need a fresh start, a little bit more guidance onto how to budget, how to save, how to establish and get on their feet.
And is that number in 2025 an increase from the year prior?
Well, we have our programs in place, and we actually saw about 30 individuals less than 2024, however, I will say that we had more individuals use our services. So we had over 25,000 shelter stays at the night shelter, which was more than 2024. So we had more men use our services at the night shelter.
And Brooke, are you seeing the outlook for 2026? I guess we're halfway through, right? I mean, we're right there. What are you seeing so far this year in terms of the homeless population and the folks that use your old services?
I can speak on the folks that use our services. So I am seeing that they are engaging in case management a little bit more, because right now we are requiring folks to use our case management services. That way they can transition out of the shelter and enter into housing. So I'm seeing that a lot with our folks. They're engaging in our workforce development program, our rapid rehousing program. So it's been... things have been looking good.
Okay. Well, we're going to jump around a little bit here, but the reason you guys are here on Straight Talk today is the virtual fundraiser for the Bethel Shelters that we're on day five of. So I'll have both of you tell me a little bit about the virtual fundraiser. Who wants to start?
I'll start. So we're having our virtual fundraiser called Hope Starts Here, where we share pictures every day for a week straight, starting June 15th on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. We're sharing a little bit more about the shelter. We're sharing how folks can volunteer, how you can sponsor a meal, how you can sponsor household items, how you can support our programs, our workforce development program, our rapid rehousing program, how folks can support operational costs at the shelter, like maintenance, transportation, things like that, and how folks can sponsor a night of shelter and a day of shelter to support us on those things.
Now, Alicia, I want to go to you because this is interesting to me. I was looking at this spreadsheet you have, and you have day six, which is would be tomorrow, right, Saturday. Mm-hmm. Sponsor a night of shelter. $15 covers a night. How is that calculated? I'm curious. Like, that's interesting to me that $15 would cover one person, right? Mm-hmm. One person for one night. How do you guys calculate something like that?
So we just looked at our numbers from last year based on 2025. Our budget for last year was about $1.1 million, and we served that 455 individuals. So we just did some math and just divided it into program.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, when they stay with you, it's obviously an opportunity for them to get a shower, to get some laundry done. Mm-hmm. You know, are they fed? Is there what's that look like as well?
So all of our meals are provided by volunteers within our community. We have wonderful volunteers that provide food every night for our men to get nourished. But sometimes we have the holidays and we don't have someone to cover. So that's why we're asking for someone like to sponsor a meal so we can have that backup.
And how's that work when you sponsor a meal? How does that work?
Well, so our meals is roughly about 400 to cover the 68 men and the nightly staff members that's there. So either you can go in and you can pay for the $400, or you can actually sponsor a meal on our meal calendar where you can buy the products and cook it and actually come in and serve the guys.
So, okay. It took me a while to get to the finish line, but $400 covers a night to feed all the people staying there one night.
Feed, yes.
To feed them.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Man, that's amazing what you guys do. That's fantastic. So let's talk about workforce development. I see that this was on Thursday. $10 helps maintain employment. I'm going to go to you, Brooke, because you kind of mentioned that a little bit with the case management and getting them in workforce development programs. I feel like that's something that I write about a lot in the news where, you know, the city of Rock Hill, York County, our colleges, Clinton, York Tech, Winthrop are all using it kind of, it's almost kind of like a buzz phrase, if you will, workforce development. They all want to use that, not just for the students at their schools, but the people in our community. And that could be somebody, you know, that's 20 years old, 30 years old, 40, 50. And you talked about seniors being in the 60s. So when you talk about workforce development and supporting that, take me through that.
So I'll tell you a little bit about our workforce development program and how they can support it. So in our workforce development program, we have a case manager that actually help guests fill out applications, create resumes, help them get transportation to work, help them with work boots, help them with identification. Maybe they need a birth certificate or an ID. Maybe they're from out of state and they might need their driver's record from that state in order to get a South Carolina ID. So we're helping with all those things, and those things cost us lots of money. So we're just asking from the community to help us help folks maintain employment.
Are you able to speak to some of the biggest, I guess, challenges, roadblocks for some of these people to get back into the workforce?
I think one of the biggest barriers that I have been seeing this year has been identification and transportation, of course. So with identification, like I said, if you're from a different state, we'll have to order your driver's record or birth certificate and get that in before we can go to the South Carolina DMV to get your identification.
Let's talk about transportation. I know that this has been a topic. And Alicia, I'm going to look at you and you just gave me a little smirk like you know what's coming. We covered this a lot with the MyRide in the city of Rock Hill and how that they weren't able to keep that program going due to the company, was it out of Greenville, that went bankrupt, that was producing the parts and the buses and things like that. So they weren't able to keep that program going. There is a service that York County provides, but you have to call them and set things up online. How is that affected? And I guess we're, what, a month into MyRide not being a thing anymore, about a month? What is the transition been like from your end with Bethel Shelters, Alicia?
Well, to believe it or not, we've already had our partnership with York County Access Bus. And, you know, when things were a little bit shaky in the beginning, when we lost the Sunday service and they altered the Saturday operations.
That's right.
That's when they actually provided services from the day shelter to the night shelter. And now we are blessed to have that service Monday through Saturday.
Okay. So that seems to be doing okay.
Yes.
And I wanted to give them a shout out. That's York County Access, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And that's a service where you can both call and schedule it online? Is that how it works?
So for our guests who are working or needs an appointment, they will have to call in advance. But this is a service that they offer to us at Bethel Shelters, between shelters. So we have a pickup spot in the morning from Bethel Night Shelter, and then a pickup stop in the evening at the Bethel Day Shelter.
Oh, so they'll get multiple people, not just one. In terms of, like, the pickup?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
They're picking up our the men from the night shelter and taking them to the day shelter and back and forth.
Okay. And I'm just, like, very curious now. So this is, you said this is like a bus? This York County Access?
We have two routes dedicated to Bethel Shelters, yes.
Interesting. So you guys are moving along with that change. That seems to be doing okay. Do you think there is a need, or maybe not a need, but do you think if there was a version of My Ride that came back to Rock Hill, do you think that would be very beneficial?
Oh, it would definitely be beneficial. We are starting to hear, like, certain things that are happening as far as individuals being late for work or missing appointments, things like that, when they're trying to just get the routes down packed.
Okay. Back to this virtual fundraiser. One more thing on this. You have a fundraising goal of $50,000, okay? People hearing about Bethel Shelters and wanting to help, how can they help? They hear the sound of our voices and they want to write a check or credit card. How can they help?
Well, first you can start by going to BethelShelters.org. Mm-hmm. That's where you will find all of the information about Hope Starts Here, but not only Hope Starts Here, but information about all of the programs. There's a donate button on there. And then you can also sign up for our newsletter to receive that every quarter as well.
Okay. And you guys are doing pretty well this week. And this is all social media, right? This is
all social media.
This is website, Facebook, you know, right. X and yeah. all the things.
So if you're already following Bethel Shelters, if you're our friend, please like and share. And of course, please donate.
Very good. Okay. All right. All right. Time now for our mid-program break. I want to remind you that Straight Talk is broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And I don't hear the music yet, but oh, there it is. I want to tell you that at Substation 2, they make fresh subs and salads 6 days a week, and they do it magically. But how do they do it? On the count of three. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Not bad. Back with more.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
I like the friendly service, and I like that the meat's fresh and the food tastes good. They slice the meat right there in front of you.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044 or online at andersongriggs.com.
Start your journey with a new auto loan. Get on the road with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. From city streets to off-road trails, your journey begins here. Our competitive rates can get you on the road in a ride that fits your lifestyle and budget, with no payments for up to 90 days. You can apply for a pre-approved spending limit valid for 30 days before you start shopping. Visit one of our many convenient office locations or go to foundersfcu.com/auto to apply for an auto loan today. Membership qualification required. See webpage for details.
At Comporium, we don't just provide internet and phone. We power the companies that keep our community moving. For over a century, we've delivered reliable technology backed by local support. When your business calls, Comporium answers. Need speed? We deliver. Need help? We're there in hours, not days. World-class technology. Local people who know your name and your business. Comporium Business, your partner in growth. Call today or visit business.comporium.com.
Piedmont Medical Center is evolving to care for you, starting with a new name and look. Join us as we enter a new chapter as Piedmont Medical Network. For more than 40 years, we've provided comprehensive care for our community. Today, we're home to 2 hospitals, 4 emergency departments, and hundreds of compassionate physicians dedicated to caring for you. We are Piedmont Medical Network. Find a doctor at piedmontmedicalnetwork.com/about.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
Enjoy the Italian sub with the salami.
I enjoy just the atmosphere.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And good afternoon for another edition of our Straight Talk program. We're back here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Also with us today is Comporium. Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Here with our friends from the Bethel Shelters, the executive director of the Bethel Shelters, Alicia Cohen, and program director, Brooke Leverett. So a couple of things we want to hit before we end the program. Got about 10 minutes here. Success story for Bethel Shelters. Brooke, you wanted to jump in on this one. Give me a good success story for the Bethel Shelters.
Yes, we just had an individual that we housed last month that stayed with us for about 4 months at our shelter. He was evicted from his housing. He was hospitalized. After he was hospitalized, he wasn't able to maintain the rent. So he came to us earlier this year, and he worked with me on his goals. He found a part-time job while getting some disability income, and he was able to find a home with the assistance from Catawba Area Coalition. He got his first month's rent paid, and now he's paying the remainder of the months. But he's doing good. We actually have a picture of him on day three.
Okay.
On Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn if you want to go view those pictures. But he's doing good. He has furniture. And
well, listen. Yeah. Listen, furniture is a good thing, you know.
Yeah, that's the biggest one.
Yeah.
We provided the household supplies.
I remember in college, my first place, I had a recliner, a TV, no end tables, no couch, no dinner table. And listen, I was as happy as could be, but furniture is a big thing because it makes it feel like a home, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously being older, I know the value of that now. That's good to hear. That's fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. So let's talk about that. When it comes to workforce development in the Bethel Shelters, I asked you a question that was a little awkward off air, but I think I know how to phrase it now. When these people stay with you, you know, you have people in your department like Brooke here, who's a program director, that you take them through workforce development. How does that conversation start? I guess you hear their story, and then it goes into, all right, what can we do to help you to get you back on your feet? Take me through that process.
Well, when we have someone that's new that comes to the shelter, they come in and they sit with our shelter specialist. She gets their information, their story, and then that's passed to the case manager. So we know when they come to the shelter at that initial stay that they're in shock. They don't know how they've gotten here. They're just trying to process everything. So we give them about 30 days to actually process that before they can really jump into case management. Case management is really highly encouraged so they can walk alongside them to really establish the next action plan to, okay, I'm here, how do I get back on my feet?
You know, I'm just actually going to share something I saw last night. I was actually at a gas station here on Cherry Road. You know, people that have been experiencing homelessness for quite some time, they just figure out ways to survive, and they figure out ways to get what they need. You talked about these people having shock. I saw a gentleman last night. It appeared that he was experiencing homelessness. He was looking for a charger, and I heard a conversation between him and another gentleman, and he found a charger on a side of the building where the car wash was, on the side of the building. So he clearly knew exactly where to go. And I tell that story because you mentioned the shock, and I don't think we – value is not the right word, but I don't think we take into account – when this happens to someone, it could happen to anyone. You know, there's every situation is different. They have to figure out a new way of life. They have to figure out how to get out of it. And you guys are really the first wall of defense, right? You know, they're coming to you for a place to stay because they don't got a place to stay.
That's correct.
And that's got to be, I mean, you guys are some special individuals to have those conversations. I mean, those are tough conversations to have, I imagine.
Well, even with our seniors that have been housed for so long, they come in and, you know, they was evicted because of the price of their lease going up, and they don't realize how much housing costs now. Mm-hmm. And so to get rehoused, it takes a little bit of more budgeting, a little bit more knowledge of what things cost in the area.
So I want to ask you this, Alicia, and this will probably be the toughest question that you got to answer today, and I hate to build that up. Like, it may be easy. When it comes to trying to solve the homeless issue, we talked about all the organizations that are joining together and partnering together, having conversations with, say, council, City of Rock Hill, council with York County, your local leaders, state reps, you know, down in Columbia, you know, state leaders, senators, congressmen. What are some of the needs just here in Rock Hill? What are some of the things that you are asking for that is a need here to solve this issue, solve this problem?
I think what it is, you know, as we say affordable housing, we need affordable housing, but also the market rate is continuing to rise at the same time.
Yeah.
So that's not really solving the issue of, you know, it was affordable then, but by the time the house is built, it's not affordable anymore. So we really need to sit down and sit back and have like a cap on things, like what things cost, how to advocate for the people of Rock Hill to actually live in the place that they work.
Oh, that's powerful right there. That's powerful right there. It's some preach. And you have these conversations not just with your cohorts of nonprofits, but I'm sure you were having these conversations with these local leaders. And it's a hard problem to fix because there's no monetary value. There's no monetary number on it, right? Because
right.
You said the market keeps changing.
Right. The market's changing. We're all excited for what's coming to Rock Hill.
Mm-hmm.
The new hospital and the new employment opportunities. But if we can't live where we work, you know, that's another struggle when it comes back to transportation. How are we going to get here? Traffic's going to, you know, increase. Mm-hmm. So those are just things that we have to take into account when we want to say, yes, we want affordable housing, but how do we get there?
Well, tell me this, and I know Manning has asked this question probably multiple times in different ways, but what is affordable housing? When you look at, from your all's perspective, when you guys are putting somebody in a workforce development program and getting them out on the streets, what is a feasible number to pay rent? Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to say any names, but there are some apartment complexes not far from here charging $1,900 a month, and I don't know where those people are working, because that's not affordable.
Right. So technically, we're only supposed to spend about 30% on housing.
Sure.
Just 30% of our income is supposed to be spent on our housing, and we are well over 30%, and we're 50 to 70% just on maintaining a home.
Yeah. Mm. So that's, it's more of a percentage, not a...
Yeah.
Yeah. I got you. All right, let's give one more little plug here before we leave the airwaves here. We are in day 5 of the virtual fundraiser for the Bethel Shelter, so I'm going to let you both kind of give us one last plug here. Day 5, Brooke, I'll start with you. What can people do to give back to the Bethel Shelters?
So they can go on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn and follow us and learn more about the shelters and volunteer or sponsor a day for our folks, so we can live out our mission.
And this fundraising goal of $50,000, this money goes to all the services you provide, Alicia?
Yes, this is unrestricted funds, so it'll go to operational costs, light bill.
Yeah, get the lights on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, listen, I got to ask, pardon the ignorance, but now that it's hot, it does cool down a little bit at night, but you guys obviously they go for a place to be warm in the winter. You know, I'm sure you guys got strong AC there over the summer.
Yes, we always have maintenance going on with our AC unit. You know, we served 25,000 last year. That's 25,000 that someone came through the doors.
Wow.
Of a shelter stay. Yeah.
Very good. Well, ladies, best of luck. Thank you for joining us. Virtual fundraiser for the Bethel Shelters, Alicia Cohen and Brooke Leverett. We're here at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop, where they make fresh subs and salads 6 days a week. But how do they do it? On the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Manning will be back on Monday. Bye.